Good morning. Sun was beautiful and shining this morning. Stepped out. Wonderful day. Wonderful Lord's Day. Notes in order here. Today, decided to talk on a subject that I'm sure many men have already covered. So I can't say anything new. I'm going to tell you what I come up with. Talk this morning is on courage. I would like to read a little something first. Courage isn't a brilliant dash, a daring deed in a moment's flash. It isn't an instantaneous thing, born of despair, a sudden spring. It isn't a creature of flickering hope or the final tug of a slipping rope. But it's something deep in the soul of man that is working away to serve some plan. Courage isn't the last resort in the work of life or the game of sport. It isn't a thing that a man can call at some future time when he's apt to fall. If he hasn't it now, he will have it not when the strain is great and the pace is hot. For who would strive for a distant goal must always have courage within his soul. Courage isn't a dazzling light that flashes and passes away from sight. It's a slow, unwavering, ingrained trait with the patience to work and the strength to wait. It's part of a man when his skies are blue. It's part of him when he has work to do. The brave man never is free of it. He has it when there's no need of it. Courage was never designed for show. It isn't a thing that can come or go. It's written in victory and defeat and every trial a man may meet. It's part of his hours. It's part of his days. Back of his smiles and behind his tears. Courage is more than a daring deed. It's the breath of life and a strong man's creed. That was written by Edgar Allan Albert Guest. I've always liked that on courage. Courage in the Bible, there's lots of examples of courage in the Bible. Moses, Daniel, Esther, David, but none was greater than Christ. We see courage every day in our everyday life. Sometimes it goes very unnoticed. That's the nature of courage. Courage is the nurse. It's pumping gas in the cold. And as she's pumping gas, she's looking, staring straight ahead. And if you look at her, you wonder, what is that person doing? Thinking. Her 30 years of being a nurse has culminated into her favorite patient dying today. And she's deciding if she wants to volunteer on that floor anymore. And by the time she's done pumping gas, she's made the decision. She'll say, courageous decision to serve others. It's the young father who has a lot of talent, who spent his whole youth his early years gaining the knowledge to become a professional athlete. As children are born, he decides to give it up, to stay, and raise his children in the way that God has instructed him to. That's courage. Both of my parents showed courage. In the face of adversity at a young age, they took it on, and they overcome courage in their 20s. There is no doubt in every pew there's courage right now. It sits, and we have stories of this. But no courage is greater than Christ's. When he went to the cross, when he uttered his final words. Think of a time in your life when you had courage. Give you 3 seconds. Now stop. What was it? What is your time in life courage? And think about that. We'll come back to that. Jesus' courage was first that he came into the world, that he was born. Being God, that took courage. It took courage. He was a poor carpenter. He didn't stand out. His peer group, his family, and the apostles, he was persecuted his whole life. Herod had killed all the babies at the age of 2. If you think about it, would Jesus have a lot of people around his age? A lot of them were gone. He lived approximately 33 years. And he had the courage to do this without sinning. Think about that. 33 years knowing what he knew. He did not sin. And then, of course, there's John 18:4. When Jesus is in the garden, knowing all that would happen, he stepped forward. He steps forward into the garden, knowing that he's taking on the wrath and the scourge of sin upon his shoulders. He knows that he's going to be naked and ashamed in front of soldiers who mock him and beat him. He knows how many stripes are going to come across his back and the pain that he's going to feel. He knows the pain of being upon the cross and the loneliness that it must feel as he's taking on all of our sins. I tremble to think about the physical and the psychological pain that he was going through at that time and the weight, the crushing weight that would have been. We can't even imagine. It's unimaginable horror. And with this, the courage that it took to come to the cross, to finally say it is finished. When you think about courage in the Bible, there's a lot of chapters, a lot of things to say about courage without using the word itself. Some examples: 1 Chronicles 28 and 20, as David is talking to Solomon, says, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you." Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. 2 Timothy 1:7. "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Courage. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous. Be strong." I want to go right now to Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 1. As Christ, he then called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs nor bag, nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they went. And they went prospering and preaching through the towns the gospel and healing everywhere. And that took courage. Courageous men are often quiet mysteries. They don't boast or display their ability to become dangerous because they are. They can conjure it at any time, but they know how to use it. Use it to affront the sinful nature of a situation with the courage that comes from knowing that he has God on his side. From that he can act. Courageous men get down on their knees and they pray. They pray with discernment. And not to find out the fault of things through the discernment, but instead to call God for intercession. To give knowledge through his almighty wisdom that he freely gives to you by just asking or just by knocking. Courageous men have the virtues of others in mind because they already have their us aligned. I can remember a time when I was playing music, and it was here in Des Moines, and it was on Hull Avenue. There was a place to play music. It was a bar, and I was playing. And we took a break, and we went into the back alley. And there were many people in that back alley. And as we were talking with people, out of the corner of my eye, to my left, and I remember this, it was just a flash, a moment in time, as the guy next to me was stabbed. And he lay there in the alley, and the people spread. Somebody came to his defense, others. We went back inside, and I remember playing the rest of that gig. But I will never forget leaving that, going, I am never coming here again. I want to change what I do. I didn't think that was courage at the time, but it was the start, the inception, the seed of it, that I was in the wrong place. Concerning sin, courage conquers sin. Sin's yearly inventory for man and for woman has never been off count or unaccounted for, but instead it is filed perfectly in chronological order, correct in its evil pursuit of your soul. In Galatians chapter 5, we see the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you think of courage, all of these are contained within the fruits of the Spirit. A man or a woman who has courage has the fruits of the Spirit aligned in them also. We must remember we're all unique. But we must remember we're all unique. Just like everybody else. Courage is selling sin to depart, to flee from you, to move along. It's not welcome here. I remember being confident. And if confronted, I thought at one time I could control sin. And that I was staying above that testing line. But sin is an agony. And it follows you. To reject it, you need the courage. Courage is believing and admonishing oneself to realize when sin is acted upon us. Sometimes we can go to great lengths to hide sin, if you think about that. Maybe as a kid, if you think of a time, we hide it from men. Sometimes even feeling the elation people describe of getting away with something and not being caught or being brought to justice. But picture this, for the perspective and the grounding, is that every one of those times, you never got away with it. Because right next to you, or over the top of you, or right beside you, was the battle of good and evil. Those sins are witnessed. You avoid man's embarrassing confrontation, only to wake to the knowledge that in fact you were caught by the two forces of good and evil, God and Satan. You need courage throughout your life to go forward, to be convicted in your heart that Christ died for our sins, was raised again, is the propitiation for our sins, and he is the ultimate symbol of courage that we have to look forward to. We watch TV. We see the many men and women who overcome things. We hear stories of afflictions. These take courage to get through. But when you have Christ, that courage is easily put in your pocket and you can conquer the things that are in your way. It takes courage to stand up right into your life, right in the middle of it. And with the truth and strength that God has supplied, that through his love and mercy, you will make the right decisions. No greater courage has a man or a woman that when in the time of their life comes, they make the decision to come forward and give their life to Christ. We won't make a more courageous decision than that. And we offer that now as we stand and sing the invitation song.